Welcome to Star Wars Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, Deadcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just one how to join us. We have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talkshoe website, www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. More probably. Just look for upcoming podcasts, basically. The search has not been working well on that site. But if you actually want the best online experiences, what you want to do, you want to go to twitch.tv/sfonecall. You want to find us there, and you will be able to join the chat room, watch the latest video. If we're not streaming at the time, which is, of course, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time every single Thursday, except for certain holidays, including, like, Thanksgiving. But anyhow, so you can join us there and join the chat room. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can reach me on the Twitters. You can reach me at sfuoncall. Also, personal account is also Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-N-Z. There's no T in that. And, of course, also Franz Games is my business account, F-R-N-Z-G-A-M-E-S. Again, there's no T in that. If you're around Pennsylvania, you'd understand why I say that thing. But also, the reminder, I am also on Blue Sky. So if you want to, you can follow the podcasting account at sfuoncall.bsky.social, or you can follow me at franzgames.com. And so join the revolution or whatever. Anyhow, of course, the lovely Talkcast gets into podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. They announced the Freedom Sale, which goes from June 24th, which is actually 2 days ago as of this recording, all the way to July 7th. Yes, that will be the Monday after the 4th of July. And that's 17.76% off all sales through the shopping cart. Also 10% off all PDF sales via One Shelf sites, i.e. DriveThruRPG, Wargame Vault, and I'm assuming also Warehouse 23, which is, of course, my favorite. And I said it's only available to individuals, not available for stores. So if you're a store, sorry. Moving on, moving forward, when it comes to Steve Cole, I said, as on the Life Goes On category, Steve Cole is right now organizing a full update to the SFB project for the different modules. Without Steve Patrick, because Steve Patrick is in the hospital, and since he's out of commission to help on this project, and so Steve Cole obviously has to move on as a business. Obviously keep him in your prayers and thoughts. That would be fantastic because he's in a home, which I'm sure he's not the place he would prefer to be in. And this week on Found the Online Store, we have the Away Team Log. It's $24.95. Actually, with the sale, it's $20.95, so you can save $4 if you order it now. Or now as of me recording this, maybe not now when you're hearing this, but you understand. The Away Team Log, the compilation of the RPG material published in 19 issues of the Captain's Logs, along with some fiction and other material that will be of interest to RPG players. Finally, role players can get this material without having to buy over $400 worth of books. Yeah, that's, all the scenarios and so forth are included in all of the RPG material, which cost like $400. I don't think anyone wants to spend that much money. Well, some people actually wouldn't mind it. But anyway, moving on, going forward, but if you're not a role player, that's not a problem. You'll find this book enjoyable to read because basically it is entirely fiction and background material. System specific stats are also are in separate supplements that you can get. Way team missions, we have a call to battle, for duty, all things, for duty, all things, duty, honor, empire, and of course, for the good of the empire. If that sounds familiar, that's part of the same Klingon, you know, for the glory of the empire, the book last week. Also, geography and history, we have the planetary surveys, Organia, Madjack's Hole, background files on the Gorns, Skolians, the Democratic Republic and the LDR, the Borek, and the Zinnies. When it comes to people and organizations, the Klingon detectives, the saga of a Klingon warrior, and Inspector Combs, and the mercenaries of the Black Nebula, the Pirates of Orion, and zombies. Everybody loves zombies. When it comes to the Tholians, a preview of future source book. deck plans, history, biology, military ranks, and their desperate journey to find and conquer a new galaxy. Interesting. And the final directives. The Phaser Uzi, hot pursuit in starships, and prime directives, conversions you won't ever see. Yep. And moving onward and forward to the SFB Online tournaments. KSF, our tournament number 19 are still open. We only have 6 players at the moment. I will be sending out an email to remind people about this. Obviously, I think some people were concerned. You know, this has been slow going and getting people together. I think part of that might be because of the issues with Steve Petrick. I'm hoping that that will be set aside because we have a judge has been selected to take over that role. When it comes to a 500 BPV tournament, well, Justin Reuter, sorry, Justin, if I mispronounced your name, sorry. He had to drop out because his work has just been, because it's been too busy, so he's dropping out, and Frank LeMay will be taking over his slot with playing with Justin's feds, which is going to be interesting. Moving on, when it comes to library report, not much has happened this week when it comes to the SFB Library or the FinCom Library. I did some work. Let me look at this for a moment. Actually, no, I did. I think I did update some things on the SFB Library. No, I didn't. Forgive me. Just leave it. Say I didn't do anything when it comes to libraries for this past week. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and all Papa in the book, I mean you, the star of the universe, on call. And tonight, we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have, of course, me. I apologize now. Oops. Because I screwed up. And in multiple ways. Went to play my Rogue 2 game. It's a tournament which is basically invite only tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing my Andromedan against Jeff Clark's TKR. Number one, I got wiped. Mainly because I screwed up badly. Part of that was I could not focus on the stupid game. Because of I had my cat always jumping on me. I kept on putting him down. And this happened for the first hour of me trying to play. Before that, I screwed up. Which was, I log in to the FedCom online server. So I'm in the bullpen for FedCom online instead of SFB online. Excuse me. Okay, come on. I'm sorry. Let's try this one more time. The focus on the camera is really, really that. Oh, there it goes. Okay, now we're good. Now we're good. So, and so when it comes, okay, so he was waiting for me for the like the first 25 minutes. I was supposed to show up at 7 o'clock. I showed up at 7 o'clock. Wrong bullpen. So I didn't see it was there. I was waiting for him, waiting. And I, you know, I was about to email him, and I saw his email saying, "Hey, are we playing tonight?" And I went, "Oh crap!" That's what I realized. Actually, I realized that I was in the wrong room when I finally did. I said, "Okay, fine, let's do because it's the IRC. You can do who is." And unfortunately, I know his call sign. Then that's like, "Oh yeah, he's been sitting idle for the past 1400 seconds." I don't remember that minutes at the moment. That means that he's online. That was the important thing. It's like, oh crap. That's when I realized I looked at it, it's like, oh, I logged in the FedCom server and that's why I don't see him. So I logged out and logged back in. Problem. Originally I planned on recording it. I thought I had recorded it. I didn't record it. I recorded the 25 minutes of empty air. I mean, just sitting there looking at the FedCom chat room, which had nothing happening. So I'm going, that's why I found out just 30 minutes ago. Because I figured, oh, okay, well, I'll bring up the video, let's go, you know, and so forth. And because I want to play the video and show people how poorly I did. And this is, I mean, bad. Because part of this, I was playing distracted. I think that was the main cause of my issue. And I had one bad thought, and that thought basically cost me the whole game. So I'm going to go through the game real fast. It was only two turns. So this is going to be a short review on this game. Kind of. Probably take 15 minutes or so. Okay, turn one, relatively simple. The KR is coming down the screen. He's side-slipping towards me. I'm going straight in. Okay, because I figured, okay, the best thing I want to do is I want to get relatively quickly into the middle of the board because that'll give me time to run away from any plasma that he launches. Solid so far. Like, so, you know, I have that frame of mind going strong. What is it, Boomy? Sorry, with my kittens. Is now attacking my shoelace, and hopefully I'll have an aglet by the time he's done. But anyway, you know the funny part is about that word, aglet? The only reason I know that term is for watching a comic, you know, an animated series called Phineas and Ferb. And they actually had an episode on aglet. And that's the only reason I remember that word. And actually, and this is from like my kids were, you know, growing up, you know, not when I was growing up. So that's the only reason I even remember that term. But anyhow, getting back to the game, so we're arriving. We get to like around range 13. He launches a EPT, you know, as torpedo, you know, 60 points. It's coming in towards me. And he turns off, and I went, I think in my own mind, you know, I might be able to do it. I might be able to actually, you know, I didn't measure it. I just had an inkling, oh, I can do this, which is I can turn into him and actually, you know, meet him. Because by that time, I was going speed 28. And then we turned speed change to speed 28. I started 21, then went to 28. Because I didn't feel like I needed all that speed, that you know, that soon, in the turn. And I want to save a little bit of power. So, I did that. And said, oh, I can reach him. I do that, and what does he do? He starts side slipping away, me not thinking that he would do that. And I went okay, and then I realized, I'm too late. I'm not gonna be able to do this. So. You know, his plasma is coming at me. We get to range Around one. Actually had to do a midterm speed change in the middle of this to speed 30. So that I didn't miss an impulse, because otherwise the plasma was going to hit me relatively early. And I was trying to avoid that. So I went, fine. Okay. So what I did was I headed away from him, so I get enough distance, and it finally hit me for, and I lined it up, so my right side and left side phaser two could hit it, so I was able to knock it down. So when it hit me for 23, so 12 in the front, 11 in the back. Okay, now over the left, overall that's not bad, but it cost me. I had to do a head, which I really shouldn't have had to do because I was dumb at the beginning of the game. So, because instead of doing what I probably should have done, which is playing it relatively safe, which is as soon as he launched it and he turned away, I go the opposite direction and just run out the plasma. And then as he comes, because if I really thought about it, I would have realized that at that point, if I would have turned. And he turned away from me, going to my left, and I could have turned to the right, the other corner. So he's facing towards the bottom left-hand corner. I'd be facing towards the upper right-hand corner. So we go basically in opposite directions. I could give enough distance from the plasma to have it go down without wasting any power on phasers and no head and no midterm speed change. So there's a lot of power right there used up. That was the only number one, and I think that was the biggest, that was dummy number one, because even if I would have gone in for the attack, what I probably should have done was I should have displaced towards him to get the distance on the plasma, but still be able to attack him. Though, as I said, thinking about it now, I really should have gone for the tempered approach. Gone, turn right, run out the plasma, have it hit me after it's been run down, and then turn around slowly. Don't mind me. I was checking on something. I'm still, for those of you. I'm still streaming on Discord also. There's no one there at the moment, just me, but still doing that anyway. Anyway, yeah, so that would have been the best thing for me, is to turn to the right and then just run it out, and then have it so that he has to chase me again, launch another plasma, and keep this up, so that at the very least I could have. One saved power on turn two, I could, because he would have had to start chasing me, in which case I didn't have need to go as fast, so I could save power that way. And number two, I could wait for turn three. With turn three, he probably would have only had, depending upon how close he was, he might have, not, you might have had to want the EPT on turn three. Though it's possibly probably could have got caught up to me by turn, the end of turn two, if I would have ran away, but I didn't. So I headed away. Said, "Okay, there goes my head bonus." Okay, fine. So I run away. And as I said, it hits me for 23 at the beginning of of turn two. So now I'm running away. He's come around by that time. As soon as I headed away, then he turned back. So he's chasing me, and then of course I go. I'm all the way to the right hand side of the board, and then I turn up towards the corner, and he comes in behind me because of course he's in the middle of the board and I'm on the outside of the board. So he comes in and he's chasing me. So I'm doing my best to stay outside of range five. Because my concern there is phasers and bolts. because he was going to, he could phaser and bolt my rear panels and possibly get through just my rear panels. He wouldn't have to hope for a plasma to hit me. So I did that. I got an opportunity at range 8 to fire my TR beams at his shield number 6, right on the shield border, which to me was like, mwah, magnifique. I wish it could have been range 5 to a certain degree. But at the very least, I got it at range 8, which is kind of what I wanted. I only got like 18 points of damage on a shield number 6. And then I keep running. At that point, at that point, he turned in. After I, because he launched another plasma, and I figured, okay, he launched a plasma, the regular standard plasma, he was going to turn away. No, he didn't turn away. He turned into it. And he's chasing me. It's like, oh, crap. Okay, I need to keep my distance. So what I do, I Dizzy Dev straight up. So I get 6 hexes really fast so I can keep the range open. Problem, it's a freaking fishbowl. What happened to the fishbowl? You run out of room, you have a choice. You can either hit the wall or turn in. So I have to turn around, and what happens?
Of course, he's displacing too, isn't there?
What's that?
Couldn't you displace?
Yeah, well, I did displace. I displaced towards the top of the board.
Oh, okay.
To open up the range. The other one I could have done is I could have displaced backwards and then turned. And then he could have, at that point, he could head and close the range that way. I was hoping just to keep the range open doing what I did. And unfortunately, he was going speed 26 the whole freaking turn. I thought he was going to slow down. He never slowed down. So I'm running to the top of the board. I'm going to the top of the board. I'm going. And then I make the most critical mistake ever. He's got me basically against the top of the board. And what do? I sideslip. I sideslip out. Problem with that is that he gets to his plasma and is like range 1 when I sideslip away, trying to keep the range open, trying to keep my front panels facing him, as he himself is like 3 hexes behind. So I'm going, okay. I sideslip. That was my biggest mistake right there. If I would have gone straight, the plasma would hit my front panels, and then of course he'd have to hit my front panels. And it's like, okay, which actually would have been fine, because he also launched 50 points. What happened is, okay, it hits me. Problem. Side slip. And it hits me. You know, the front panels. Come to find out, it's a fake. So then he launches 50 points of plasma. And I'm going, oh crap. So I have this 50 points of plasma. Actually, sorry. The 30 point plasma I found out was fake earlier on. Then the 50 points of he launches 50 points of plasma, an F and a real S, and that's the one that ends up at range 1. So it's like, okay, well, I can't let that hit my rear panels, because I'm gonna get at least 20 internals just from that. But as I said, I slide slip instead of going straight. Because what happens is that I move the next impulse when I sideslip. And when I move the next impulse, and I have to go straight. Well, if I go straight, his plasmas can then turn and go bing and get my rear panels. So I do something which I, because I'm desperate and I know that if I hit my rear panels, I'm dead. I try to hit number two. I say I'm gonna attempt to hit because I know that I can't just hit. I have to first announce the attempt because at this point I have to roll the dice. I roll the dice and the dice goes, you get a five. And I go, dead. I'm dead. Because I just broke down right there. So at that point I have to roll. Actually, I think I did things a little bit out of order. I think I was supposed to first roll which direction I am facing. That's what we'll say. But I wasn't quite sure if I'm supposed to do that first or supposed to roll for tumble first. So I rolled for tumble first because to me it's like, okay, tumble is not exactly the worst thing that could happen in this situation. Because with a tumble, you keep moving versus being stopped. If you roll a six, then you're tumbling. And if you tumble in the proper direction, I can tumble right past him. I can't fire at him. He can fire at me, but I get an ECM because I'm tumbling. And I'm moving. So, I can possibly survive. The only problem is, obviously, at the end of the turn, I'm going to stop dead. But first things first, do I tumble? No. Crap. So at that point, what happens? Now I've got to roll. I'm stopped dead. Now I got to roll. What direction? If I'm really lucky, if I'm really, really lucky, I got a 50% shot. 50% shot that I actually am facing the right direction. So that when the plasmids slam into my Andromedan, that it will hit my front panels and I will live for a little bit until the phasers come in and probably knock the crap out of me. But at the very least, I'll live to the point of, okay, the plasmids haven't killed me. Roll a dice. I'll roll a two. So I'm facing direction B. Plasmas are coming up direction A, and basically, I'm dead. At that point, I concede because I know I'm about to get 50 points of plasma on a... Let me look at this. Think about this now. Because I got the 11 in the back, so 11. So 40 minus 11 is 29, and I got 50. So 50 minus 29, so that's going to be 21 internals right there. And that's not including the internals I will get from the breakdown. And of course,
then, you apply those first, right?
Right. Yeah. I have to apply those first because that's part of movement.
Yeah, usually when you have to use the word, I'd have to roll for tumble in an Andromedan. It's not good.
Oh, I know. Oh, understood.
That's pretty much the end of that game.
Oh, understood. And there's always, of course, the burn side maneuver, which I think I did not do. For those of you who don't know what the burn side maneuver is, just a reminder, basically a burn side maneuver is that you do a DizDev to pop. The idea is that you're playing in the South Carolina style of an Andromeda, which is you come in, you displace away, and then you run. Now, the problem with that maneuver is that if the displacement fails, normally what you have to do at that point, because you're running into like range three, and then you displace away, at that point, if you miss the DizDev, then you're probably going to want to do a hit. Well, if it's your second hit, and you roll a six, or in this case, actually a five will do it, because it's not, you know, it's not like a Orion. It's a 5-6 breakdown roll. You roll another 6, you broke down. That's called the Burnside maneuver. So, boys and girls and children of all ages, that is how not to fly the Andromedan. Instead of, at least, I got beat up on because of that. Give me a sec here. Because I should be able to, at the very least, I should be able to, and that's patient support. And that's going to be SFU. Log. Oops, not library. I want logs. Okay. And boom. Okay. Neon Pico said, "Yeah, the Andromedan can pay for panels, housekeeping, and holy web as long as it maintains around speed 21, which or less for access for moon." Basically, he agrees, and I agree that the Andromedan needs some more power, so they can keep its speed up against the plasmas. And from my mind, also the drone, especially the Zinnings, because the Zinnings have so many freaking fast drones that you have to keep up the speed. Because you saw a plasma on the board and you still had a lot of running room. You're the expert. But I had a dizzy dev, basically, when the plasma was much closer, therefore, in order to catch you, catch your shot. Yeah, that's very true. It said, Jeff mentioned that, okay, when you approach with the turn one EPT and then headed, I thought it was great. I got some damage and now I can just try the range 5 series on your rear. And maybe a R5 bolt. Basically, that was my concern, and he validated my concern. That's what he had done. If I bolted and missed, then I have to run. Otherwise, get another good VR shot. I just told him when he launched the second plasma, I thought he'd turn off. Nope, and he didn't, because it was a pseudo, and I didn't even think that it might have been a pseudo. You know, normally, this is the kind of thing that I normally would think of. You know, I'd say, okay, what? I would try to think about, what kind of guy am I playing against? Are they a person that they'd be using pseudos? Yes or no? Because if you answer that question, then you're willing to take the chance or not that they are pseudos. If you think he would launch them, then a lot of times I'll take the chance, but I have to know, I have to think about that and think about what kind of guy is he? Because that's the one thing with a small community of an SFP, and that is, Ajeva, can't hear you? You should be able to. I've got the setup right, I'm pretty sure. Okay, wait a minute. You're logged in, so yeah. Let me just double check one thing. And I got them both. Yeah, they both should be fine. Everybody should be able to hear you. Okay, I'm not sure what the one is. I'll check it on the recording later. Hopefully, people can hear you, and I don't have to do another work job when it comes to the video, because I'm still behind right now on the YouTube feed because of, I screwed up, and I screwed up the audio for two episodes previous to this one. I need to get back to that. And basically, overall, I lost because of bad luck. Because I rolled poorly for my TRs, so I didn't even have a chance to get in. And also, of course, I rolled a very poorly for my hit attempt. So, no. Is it is what it is. As I said, I was distracted by my cat, so it was hard for me to focus on the game. And I definitely should have turned away, you know, when he did that and had the plasma coming to him. Maybe put the plasma, get a little closer, then turn to the right and let the plasma chase me and catch me at the beginning of round two without using up any additional resources. And I apologize for not actually having video of that. That's one of those things I definitely can blame on my cat, because of course I screwed up initially. I had stopped the video from running after I said, oh, well, maybe Jeff's not coming. So I stopped the recording. Then I realized what happened. And we started playing and it never restarted the recording. So again, I apologize for not having a recording, because I, as y'all know, I like to actually record my games so that I can replay them for y'all. And we are all good in that category. I apologize for not having available so you can actually see how bad I played. You can just hear about it and my poor explanation about exactly how the game ran. I apologize. Now, give me one sec. A little thirsty there. Now, well, quick announcement, which is, talked to Steve Cole, gave him, said, Steve, this is why. And actually, I was almost insulted by his reply. Let me see. Do I have it? Let me just look at this for a moment. Give me a sec. I want to see if I do have his reply. I don't see his reply. No, I don't see his reply. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Most probably I won't be able to, in which case I'll just have to give you the sense of it. That junk is trash. James, Jeff, something much like that. I'm looking for VIP stuff. Ah, there it is. No, that was that. Okay. No, I do not see that. No, one more check here. Oh, there it is. He said, basically, I think you're the best, you know, best for the job, and I will announce your appointment as deputy permanent marshal. I'm now officially the deputy permanent marshal to assist Patrick and substitute for him when he cannot be available, which at the moment, yeah, you understand. And this is where I almost got insulted. Add to all your qualification that you don't seem to be a competitive player, so you don't have a conflict of interest. So it's like, really? So, you know, that's where I felt might have been insulted
in the game, yeah, in the tournament. Yeah, I think you meant a player in the particular tournament.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think you're incredibly competitive for about two turns, usually. Sometimes longer.
Yeah. Understood. And actually, you didn't hear it because you weren't here for the news portion, which is Justin had to out of the tournament for the 500 BPV tournament, and Frank LeMay is going to be taking taking his spot. So hopefully that game will continue. Yeah, because Justin and I have been having an issue for the past 2 months of getting together. Some of it was on his end, where, you know, he would, because things come up for work, he'd have to, at the last minute, he'd say, well, I can't play. Though for the past, there was at least a 2 week hiatus where I was just too busy with everything I was doing to even, you know, try to get in the game. So, so hopefully right now we're trying to get it so that Justin can give Frank his game file. If not, we can, in theory, I can send Frank my game file, because I have nothing personal in it. I wasn't sure if Justin had actually had any notes or anything that's on for his side only, where he recorded, I did this transfer, so that we know where he stood when it comes to those kind of things. So that's what we were waiting on. If we don't get a response from him in the next, by the end of the weekend, I would say that we should just continue on from where we were. Sending him my game file, because I had nothing personal in there. I didn't add anything to the logs or anything like that that Frank doesn't have to see. Of course, the way I lay things out and the way he lays things out, there can be two different things. In that case, it might be best if I send him my file. You can read it that way. Ajeba was saying that, so it just cannot be too cutthroat, meaning too competitive in nature, that, that might hold it against somebody if they beat him, in future efforts. I know some people like that. But I am now the deputy terminant marshal. I have gotten the job. I need to send down an email because of, as I mentioned in the actually news portion of the podcast, and that is that we only have 6 players at the moment, because Justin also pulled out of that. I wanted to first check with him before we get close to having the number of players that we need for having to fill up the tournament. Because I want to say, okay, are you going to be able to play the tournament? And he said, no, he's going to have to withdraw from that tournament too. It's like, hey, fine, thank you. I just wanted to make sure, where you stood when it comes to the Sapphire Star tournament, thinking that it's possible he might have time for that, but not the larger fleet battles. But no, he's not even available for that. And that is perfectly okay. But I need to send out an email announcing said fact that Sapphire Star's 19 tournament is open for registrations, just because of we only have 6, and this is not normal to have only 6 after this long period of time, because it opened up back in May. Usually we usually fill it up relatively quick. We can usually get 12 within the first couple weeks, but my guess is that people were concerned about Patrick, because he kind of, things have been going slowly because of he has been unavailable. So, so that's going to be part of that email that I'm going to send out too, which is, I am now the deputy tournament marshal, and I will be judging the Sapphire Star tournament going forward. So that, things should not be held up, through the health concerns. At least I hope not. Jeez. I don't I I don't have to say, well, you know, I'm gonna pull. I have to pull up being a judge because I'm in the hospital right now. So that's something. That's something I look forward to ever even contemplating at this moment in time in my life. I have enough problems as it stands with my knees, but you know, I'll survive. I'll survive. Actually, that's one thing. Actually, I read a quick article. It's like, you know, they said the best thing for your knees if it's arthritis. Is to have like knee braces. That'll alleviate the pain the best. Like, okay. But they also encourage people that you need to keep going. You need to exercise, you need to get out there and walk and so forth. And that'll help also with the pain and so forth. So I do my best and try to get in like a 15 to 20 minute walk every single morning. So. Anyhow, back to Starfleet Universe stuff. Had an idea, but I'm not sure. I'll make it quick, just because of course, it's all the rage. All the news when it comes to tech these days is, which is of course AI, and even early in the early in AI. Now, things might have changed since then, but someone actually put in the, because they had, you know, PDF of the Starfleet battle rules, and they said, can basically ask the ChatGPT, can you play SFB? And the ChatGPT said, no, it's too complicated of a game for me to play. You know, it's like, okay. And, you know, so that...
they fed it into AI, and the AI coughed it back up and said,
I looked at it, wow. Like, are you nuts? But, of course,
let's just say it takes a very special dedication.
Very true.
It really does. If you were in the SFB thing back in the heyday of SFB, you were a one percenter of the gaming world. If that, maybe true. A fraction of that.
True, but also...
And even now... Even more so.
Yeah. Oh, agreed there. And I've seen multiple people at Facebook and so forth who are coming back after not playing for a while. You know, now they have time to play. You know, 25 years later, that they, hey, you know, you used to play your Green Back Martyr. You know, like, okay.
Yeah, well, it's also nostalgia, too.
Yeah, agreed. And
it's also nostalgia.
Oh, agreed. And the thing is, back...
Like the comeback for Harley Davidson being a wave of, you know, middle-aged men. Basically buying highly overpriced motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's what saved their company. So. There's that. We really need like a new generation to come in and learn learn the love of doing all the math and stuff.
Yeah. Here, okay. Let's back up when it comes
to the patience of playing a board game,
right?
Instead of a computer game,
right? That okay. Go back to what I wanted to say, which was. Back when SFB came out, that was the thing. That was the starting of the board, you know, board game industry when it comes to gaming. I mean, gaming, not just a family game that you pull out Monopoly or you pull out Sorry or one of those games, which is, you know, they're games. Of course they are. But then you have gaming. And this is before, you know, computers and even video games were very relatively simple. And even computer games, they were pretty simple too at that moment in time in the history of gaming, especially board games. But that was the first thing that people were doing. It was one of the first things people were doing with, which is simulations. The idea of describing things in rules to kind of simulate what it would be in real life, quote unquote. Be a realistic
quote. He kind of hit a point when he published his game where board gaming was becoming much more mainstream and popular with the war gaming side of things. You got to remember that it was only 10, 15 years prior to that that Avalon Hill started publishing. And, D&D was only coming into its kind of prominence just a few years before he did that thing. I mean, it's like he kind of hit the explosion of gaming time frame. So, but no, what I'm saying is, there is a little bit of a resurgence in board gaming in general. The sit down and with another person, other people, and human beings coming back right now, but they're more along the lines of a lot of the Euro games, simpler games, collectible card games, role-playing games, stuff like that. There are some newer war game companies, but it's still a niche hobby within which SFB is even more of a niche. But on the other hand, you just got to literally find somebody with the right mindset for it that wants to do it. Because it's not a casual thing to do war gaming wise. There's a significant time investment in that stuff.
True.
And that's, it's like, it's all this stuff that drives it to be in that lower and lower percentile of pool of players. And right now, the pool of players is kind of graying. So there you go.
Understood.
Yeah.
And if
you want to see like the thing grow, you got to get people out to play it in public places.
Oh, understood.
Not just your local. And I'm talking, maybe out of your local game shop, get a game with another person going and be willing to demonstrate how to play it. But like, it's a hard sell for a lot of people. And the one that's not a hard sell, generally speaking, are people that look at it and go, well, there's the Trek genre in a board game, and that are very inclined towards the rules heavy aspect of it, and understanding how everything goes together is a big puzzle, which is why it's so prevalent with programmers and engineers and doctor types. It really cuts into a much smaller group of people that will have that kind of mindset to dig into it of their own accord. So, it's fun. We like it. We played it for ages. But on the other hand, it can be a really hard sell to get somebody interested in it. It's like You can have somebody sit down and teach them how to play Go in a few minutes. You know, I could teach somebody how to play cribbage fairly quickly. And they'll either know if they like it or not. And it's, you know, how long it takes them to catch on to the nuances of the game and the advanced play of it and everything. But when it comes right down to it, a lot of times sitting, you know, a random person who's not necessarily doesn't have that psych profile of would dive into that head first, it's kind of like sandblasting a soup cracker. You know, there's an overload factor that turns some people off. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, yet if you want to grow the game, we got to sit down with, you know, the miniatures at the convention, which is coming up in about how many weeks now, Paul? 4 weeks in August, 4 weeks in July. And, oh, look, July's next week.
Yes, it is.
So, and I just restored access to some of my accounts for updating stuff, like just a few hours ago.
Cool.
I may or may not work on that this weekend. With some of the things that I'm going to be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how soon I'll get back into all that. But just to let everybody who's potentially listening to this, the D&D group, the Warduke Press, Greyhawk Reborn people, mm-hmm. they are coming back for the next convention. They told me they would be there.
Awesome.
Hopefully they'll have a larger number of people. They were saying that, you know, Valentine's Day did affect their turnout some. But we also had really bad weather that weekend, too.
Yep. Yes,
we did. I think it was not the worst weather we've worked through.
But it was scary.
But
it was scary. Yeah,
because it was kind of scary weather, yeah, with the ice storm.
Bingo.
Yeah, ice storm versus like just regular snow.
Right, exactly. That,
and then
that was the gotcha. Like, if it's gonna be this sheet of ice, oh no, I'm not coming. You know?
Oh, dude, the entrance to the hotel was just a block of ice down there. So
I know it was bad enough when I got there on Sunday.
Not wanting to come out through it.
You know, there were still icy spots.
Yeah, and the weather got better. Well, I'll admit it. We've had the past few years prior to last year, we had really good luck with the weather.
Right.
So, in the wintertime. Now, this is a summer event, so that's not much of an excuse unless you just hate the heat that much. And there it is.
Yeah, actually, that was the funny part of
that's all I got from
it. Understood.
That's my plug at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually the funny thing I was thinking about.
You want to send me a schedule.
When it comes to summer, which is that, you know, it's been hot lately. It's like, it reminds me when I was growing up and we would be down the shore house, down the shore, you know, we had a property right there on the Chesapeake Bay. And we still do. Actually, my brother's on it. I sold it off my ownership to them after my parents died, and that is I used to spend so much time just in the water just trying to keep cool. You know, so remember the times also going down to the Jersey Wildwood. There's Jersey Shore down Wildwood, New Jersey, and we would stay at Quebec by the Sea was the hotel we'd stay in. They had a pool there, which I would spend a lot of time in the pool and just spend it at the bottom of the pool as much as possible just to keep cool. So, anyhow, another one of those chasing rabbits. But, when it comes to SOB, it's a complicated rule set, but in my mind, it's not complicated. It's just detailed.
Mm-hmm.
because that's the honest truth. Because of, as anyone knows, anyone's listened to me long enough has heard the story when it comes to Steve Cole, and when he created SFB, and then they started having conventions, he'd come and people would play. And the problem with that was that each group had their own interpretation of the rules. And then that's when Cole realized that, I need to be specific about how the rules work, how these two systems interact in a definitive manner, so there is no misinterpretation of the rules. You know? So Jeba said, you know, probably could teach AI FedCom automated playing rules. Actually, automated playing rules are relatively simple when it comes to FedCom, the robot players, which one of these days I actually have to integrate because excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Not bad. How are you?
Good. Doing good.
I just saw you were on and thought I'd say hi.
Hi.
for all the help with getting things set up for eBay. It was much appreciated. So thank you for everything.
Oh, no problem. No problem. You know, I'd like to help. You know, I want to keep things going as much as possible and help out, especially when it comes to the campaigns, because I feel like the campaigns are the focus these days, a lot more of SFB Online than the previous, you know, the tournament. Obviously, tournaments will still always exist, and for nothing else, give people a chance to take, you take a ship, I'll take a ship, and then we'll go play without much thought.
Yeah, it's a great chess for fun.
Yep, exactly.
Logged hours, I think, is probably in campaign, though.
Yep. And that's one thing I have to keep an eye on when it comes to different features that I add into the client, online client, which is just to keep that in mind that more and more people are playing on Fleet Battles.
Yeah. And we appreciate all the work you do. And if you ever need help, give a yell. I'm probably going to have some spare time. So.
We'll do. Yeah. I have to get on the Tholians that Frank has sent.
Oh, what Frank's doing, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking and going, I did a quick look at, I think, the first nine he sent me, and real quick check, which is, he sent me one, okay, do I have the actual counter for this? And actually, I had the counter for it. So I was like, well, okay, this might be just a pain overall, meaning that since the ship didn't exist previously in the ship list, I have to add it by hand. That becomes the pain in the butt stuff. That's why it takes longer for new ships to be added than to update. You know, corrections are fast. You know, add them to the library, upload them, bump, we're done. Hello. But when we have to add new ships, that gets a little more work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good, better, and different. The game doesn't seem to be adding many ships anymore, so catching up now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd really like to have some more Omegas, but it is what it is.
You and me, and maybe four other people. So
that is true. I have to agree with that. That Omega is not exactly the cup of tea for most people. And I will have to agree with Barry Kirk and his opinion that the Omega rules need some work. Supposedly, they went through and that they did corrections and so forth, but there's some balance issues when it comes to Omegas that need to be resolved. And
So I played for a while with the the Colorado Battle Lab guys, right? And they had a campaign. I love the rules for their campaign. It sadly best works in person. But their campaign, for reasons I don't know, went to Omega, and they did probably their last four or five campaigns in Omega.
Wow.
And you know, you need to do a little balancing. Trobriand are a little good, and Drex need like 10% BPV across the board added.
Yeah,
I mean, they're real good.
I know. I feel it, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, but I mean, those are all adjustable things, right? Like,
right, exactly, and you know, and when you know, when Barry's on a lot, and we actually got into the Omegas many years ago. Yeah, and I played them, and we were looking at the rules and going through the rules, and we realized, yeah, there are some real, and this is not even Alpha versus Omega, which I don't think is ever a fair comparison.
Yeah,
this Omega, and they're, man, this Omega versus Omega, the ones that are supposed to naturally fight.
Yeah.
Like, how did these actually guys have to fight this guy? This one would just blow the freaking doors off this other guy. You know?
Well, and I mean, dude, I'm getting a phone call. I got to let you go.
Okay. But
nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Mike. Okay, see ya. Okay, anyway, I think that's a good ending spot right there. Ending in with the mention of Omega and it named correct. Yes, what's up?
What? Oh, I said, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Doug, nice having you around and joining me in this, whatever it was. My apologies to everyone.
No, thanks for having me.
Badly that had no video for you guys, so you couldn't watch the game. And two, my stumbling over an explanation of the game. So, Doug, you have a good night.
Thanks, Paul.
So, got to talk about my very, very bad game. If there's somebody, I don't know, maybe I'll see if I can get someone to actually play against me. The problem is that the people that probably would be willing to play against me are the people who are new, and I don't really want to completely blow them out of the water when it comes to that. But you know, obviously I need to play a little more. Hopefully, you know, I'll be able to do that. You know, I have to play by myself. All by myself. But anyhow, you know, obviously, you know, think the Omega's rules need a little work. You know, ADB said, yeah, we're done. We mixed it around. I don't quite agree there. But hopefully, I will see people at Gamers of Summer. I should be there. I have to really look at my schedule to see exactly which days I will be there, but definitely I'll be there at least 2 days, whether it's going to be Saturday and Sunday or it's going to be Saturday and Monday. We'll just have to wait and see. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.